We have about 9 or 10 verses that we're just simply going to read, and they all have to do with being thankful, because that's what we're talking about today.
1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Psalms 107:1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting.
Ephesians 5:2. And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma.
That's the only one that doesn't talk about love, but it talks about why, or I mean thanksgiving. Why should we be thanksgiving?
Colossians 3:15-17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do in all the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father.
James 1:17. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow.
Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God.
2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift.
Psalm 106:1. Praise the Lord. O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting.
And Psalm 105, verse 1. O give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your work in our lives, and we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who has come to earth to die for our sins. And we thank you for your forgiveness. And as we talk about being thankful today, that is our primary reason to be thankful. And we just thank you so much for that gift of eternal life. Lord, I pray that you'll be with our worship time today. And might it be sweet and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've asked Lori to make a couple of roses. Did you know that the rose is the most artistically recreated flower? She taught me how once. She told me the story of when she learned how to make roses, that her instructor would she'd have a lot of them out there, and the instructor would smash every one but the best one so that she could get good at it. We're not really talking about roses today, but I'm wondering how many of you walk through life and you don't even see the roses. You don't see the flowers. You don't pay attention. You don't slow down enough to see the good things in life. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but I'm one of them. I mean, we just run and run and run and run. And so some roses, I did a little study on them here. Some roses are so packed full of vitamin C that they're actually good for you to put into soft drink or even water. I did some work for a Greek guy once, and he said, I want to show you Greek hospitality. And so we sat down at this meal, and it was a full spread. He said, and I had a really hard time understanding what he was saying, but he says, would you like some rose water? And I didn't know. I said, no, thank you. I don't drink. No, rose water. And he kept saying it. Funny. Finally, yeah, so they put rose petals inside the water to flavor the water, and it was really good. And now I'm finding out that it's full of vitamin C. For the last several hundred years, roses have been known for love and sympathy and suffering. And so I just wanted Lori to make a couple just to show you. And then you can actually sit down. I'm going to read the... Thank you, Lori. You're not done yet. Well, then I'm going to read the story while you're doing that, okay? All right. I have a story from my Nelson Book of Illustration, and it's called The Flower. Gerda Wiesemann was among the prisoners in the Nazi death camp. She recalled an episode one spring when she and her fellow inmates stood at roll call for hours on end, nearly collapsing with hunger and fatigue. But they noticed in the corner of the bleak, horrid, gray place that the concrete had broken and a flower had poked its head through. And thousands of women there took great pains to avoid stepping on it. It was the only spot of beauty in their ugly and heinous world. And they were thankful for it. Later on in a radio interview, she added, when people ask me, why did you go on? There is only one picture that comes to my mind. The moment was when I stood at the window of the first camp I was in and asked myself if by some miraculous power one wish could be granted me, what would it be? And then, with almost crystal clarity, the picture that came to my mind was the picture at home. My father was smoking his pipe, my mother working on needlepoint, my brother and I doing our homework. And I remember thinking, my goodness, it was such a boring evening at home. And I know countless evenings like that. And I knew that this picture would be, if I could help it, the driving force behind my survival. I'm wondering how many of us just, we're at home and we kind of do our thing at night and we go to sleep and we do it all over again the next day. And we forget. We forget about all of God's blessings. Thank you, Lori. That's beautiful. One more story, and it's titled 14,000 Things. Barbara Ann Kipker began keeping a list of her favorite things as a shy teenager. How many of you, when you were teenagers, were shy? Okay. A lot of us were. I'm still a teenager. What are you laughing at? Soon the list became second nature. She found herself making additions while riding on the bus, eating breakfast, and even in the middle of the night. 20 years and dozens of spiral notebooks later, her list was published as a book titled 14,000 Things to Be Happy About. Why don't you start your own book? Yeah. Marian, why don't you start your own book? 14,000 Things to Be Happy For. We don't know where to start. You have so many blessings, right? Let's pray. Lord, I pray that as we talk about being thankful today, I pray that you'll teach each one of us to think purposely about what we are so thankful about. And we do want to thank you for working in each of our lives today. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I would like you to turn to Matthew 18. If you don't have a Bible with you today, there's one in front of you. Possibly. It's the dark brown one. No, there. You can use that one. Yep. Matthew 18. We're going to start with verse 21 and read all the way through 35. So it's a little bit lengthy. My Bible has a title in this section called Forgiveness. Some of the versions have the unmerciful servant. And I prefer to call it the parable of the ungrateful servant. Ungrateful servant. And that's not a biblical term. I'm not a scholar by any stretch of the imagination, but I think it fits better. Matthew 18, starting with verse 21. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brothers sin against me, and I forgive them? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment be made to him. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, Pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will repay you. But he was unwilling, and went and threw him in prison until he could pay back what he had owed. So then his fellow slaves saw what had happened. They were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers to be torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same with you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. This text has an incredible amount of stuff in it, but I simply want to take today and talk about forgiveness. We've been given, all of us, so much, haven't we? We don't even realize it. Most of you know and understand that we are sinners. Romans 3:23 says we're all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And yet God, in his loving care, has come and paid the price. What's the price of sin? Somebody help me out. Death. Separation from God forever. And so we're all sinners, and we've separated ourselves from him, and yet he has come and paid the price for that sin. We have so much to be thankful for. So what do we have in this story? Peter says, he's asking a question here, when someone sins against me, he says, brother or sister, how many times should I forgive them? Up to seven times? That's a question. And Peter, and of course Jesus, says, no, 77 times. 77 times. First of all, I need to tell us that Jesus, God, does not have a number of how many times he forgives us. We simply come to him, repent from our sins, and he forgives us. Doesn't matter how many times. It doesn't matter how many times. He simply forgives us. The Barnes commentary says when Peter asked the question seven times, this is interesting. The Jewish culture taught that you forgive someone three times and not the fourth. Three times. And so when Peter says up to seven times, he thought he was pretty good. I think he's probably looking for a pat on the back. Oh, Peter, you are so right. I wish more people were like you. Forgive up to seven times. But no, what does Jesus say? No, not seven times. 77. Some versions say 7 times 70, 490 times. But the fact is still the same. No one can count up to 77 times how many insults or how many times someone has infracted against them. We just need to simply forget. Verse 30 says, 5 then in that text is, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. So how was that servant treated? He was put in prison and tortured until he could repay back what he owed. I want to look at the Lord's Prayer for a moment. It's found in Matthew 6. And just, I want to look at verse 12 first. It says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. What's that really saying? What it's saying is, forgive me in the same way that I forgive someone else. Ooh, that's pretty scary. How many of you are forgiving people? How many are not forgiving people? If you don't forgive, you're not going to be forgiven. Then he says again down in verse 14 and 15, Matthew 6, 14 and 15, it's not part of the Lord's Prayer, but it ought to be. Listen to this. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. We need to forgive other people, friends. We need to forgive other people. Forgiveness is the key to the Jesus ministry on earth. He is in the business of reconciliation, bringing people back to Him. Forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. If you've been in my office for counseling of any kind, you know that I have one book that I love to give away, Total Forgiveness. It's a book that has changed many, many lives. Mark 10, verse 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life for ransom. That's what Jesus did for us, and we need to remember that and have that in mind when we are not forgiving other people. The second thing that this text talks about in Matthew 18, I want to talk about the master a little bit. It says that he was merciful. Now, we're going to talk in just a little bit about how much that first servant had, and it was a tremendous amount of money that he owed back to this servant. But what's saying is that the master was merciful. Ruth, can I put you on the spot? What's merciful? You don't hold them against them. You're just merciful. Offerings that you don't deserve. Jesus is merciful to us. We don't deserve it. So many times we didn't ask for it. He just simply gives it to us. He is merciful. And we need to receive that mercy. Thirdly, the slave leaves the presence of the master and whose debt has been paid. And what does he do? After he leaves his master, he goes to a fellow servant. He chokes his fellow servant and he says, pay back what you owe me. I've asked Christy to put up some of these things here. First, one talent is 60 minus. One mina is 3 months' pay. Okay, so one talent is equal to 60 times 3 months, which is 180 months' wages. Okay, putting all this into perspective here. 15 years' wages. One talent is 15 years' wages. Okay, you got that? One talent is 15. How many talents did the first servant owe? 10,000. 150,000 years' wages. Now, I don't know what it's coming to some of you. I don't know what minimum wage is anymore. Let's call it $8 an hour. And at 40 hours a week, your wage would be that first servant. And I'm using a low number just to present the fact that it's there. And you're going to go, wow, when you find, if you're doing the math in your head, you're way better than I am, because I can't figure that out. But the first servant owed $2,250,000,000. The second servant owed 100 denarii. One denarii is worth 1 day's labor. 1 day's labor. So if you put the same figures in there, the second servant owed $6,400. So one thing that I learned in doing this sermon was $6,400 at $8 an hour, that's still a good chunk of change. Okay, so when he was choking his fellow servant and saying, pay me back, he had a legitimate reason, didn't he? He had a legitimate, he wanted his money back. Why? Well, because he owed a lot, but it's been forgiven, but he didn't have probably anything, and so he wanted to get payment. So it's still a good amount of money. My point this morning is not to tell you what the difference is between the two servants. That's not my point. My point is rather, every time I read this text, I want to say this before I go on. Every time I read this text, I'm thinking, that master was stupid. Who in their right mind would all let their servant build up such a debt? Okay? But I don't really want you to think about that either. The fact is, we have been given so much. Our debt has been paid. We have life everlasting. And that's the debt that's been paid back to us. So instead, this parable shows that human nature is typically not forgiving, even when we have been forgiven so much. As we enter the Thanksgiving season, which is only in 3 weeks, 2 weeks, as we enter the Thanksgiving season, won't you start thinking about all the things that you're grateful for? I see Kara sitting here. And Dan. A lot of funerals in winter. A lot of funerals. But we have been forgiven so much that we have much to be thankful for. So as we enter into the Thanksgiving season, just simply remember what God has given us, and then hand that mercy down to your brother and sister. Would you do that? Hand your mercy down to your brother and sister. Amen. I'm wondering if I can encourage you all to go home and get a spiral notebook and start writing down all the things that you're thankful for, all the good things in life. It might change our perspective. Listen to what Paul says here to his friend Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:15. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. So many times we think that we're something else, and I am not going to forgive that person. But Paul says he's the worst of sinners, and I'm the worst of sinners, and all of us are sinners. But Jesus has came to save us from our sin, and he came and died for us. Amen. Have a great week.